Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are locked into WKAR's current sports on this Friday, or as I like to say, Fry-yay. November 9th, 2018. Now, I know, Mid-Michigan, you woke up this morning, you looked out the window, and it hit you. Yeah, gone are the nice summer days of 80-degree, 70-degree weather. It gets really gray and cold around this time of the year here in Mid-Michigan. I wasn't in a good mood. When I woke up today and looked out the window and saw that, I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, come on. Can we get just one or two more days of beautiful fall-like, at least, weather, you know, in the 60s, sun shining? I haven't seen a sunshine here in Michigan in a long time. But, yeah, it's still fall. December officially begins on December 21st, but you know how we roll here in Michigan. This is the time of the year when the snow does come, all right? And for those who will be attending tomorrow afternoon's Michigan State and Ohio State game, if you are going, bundle up because it will be cold. I don't believe it is going to snow during any point of the game, at least looking at the forecast right now, and we all know how that can change here in Michigan. Flurries will happen in the morning, it looks like, but everything should be clear and ready to go by noon kickoff for the Spartans and the Buckeyes. But it will be very cold. Which is why, right now, if you wanted to go check out Michigan State and Ohio State, there are a ton of tickets out there. And I think, in part, it has to do with the weather, of course. And also the fact, because Ohio State fans, they travel, all right? And I wouldn't be surprised if you see more scarlet and gray than you see green and white at Spartan Stadium tomorrow. But the fact that this isn't sold out, it has to do with also the fact that Ohio State, I don't think, is a legit college football playoff contender anymore. I mean, you know, they opened up at number 10 in the latest batch of rankings. But, I mean, when you lose to Purdue in that fashion, I don't know how the committee is going to put them in. All right, so I think that's out the window, which in part affects how the Buckeyes fans travel. All right, there will still be a lot of Buckeyes fans in the house tomorrow, but there's a reason why this thing isn't a sellout. Nonetheless, I think it's going to be an incredibly entertaining game. We'll break down that matchup, Spartans and Buckeyes, in just a moment. Also, it is Friday. It's Fry-yay. And you guys know each and every Friday, we debuted the segment last week on Friday. We'll be welcoming to the show fitness trainer, founder of Blessed Body Fitness, Johnny Lewis, who will be joining us live this week here on Current Sports. We'll be calling him out in Arizona. Talk about a contrast of weather, right? I'm sure Johnny is just walking around with his shirt off, just beautiful skies, 80-degree weather, just gorgeous, right? He'll join us from the desert as we will bring you Fit Fridays with Blessed Body founder Johnny Lewis. And then on the back end of the show, we'll briefly touch on the Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams, who will both be in action, a doubleheader of hoop action starting on Sunday afternoon at 1 with the Michigan State women's basketball team. We'll have a brief preview there, briefly touch on the Lions, and we will have Reflection Friday for you all. Interesting stuff, though. I want to go behind the glass. We have Connor Mathis, who is our current sports engineer each and every Friday. And Connor, you brought some news to me
literally minutes before I said, hello, what's up, beautiful people? What is that news? And it concerns a pretty popular family in the world of basketball.
Well, LaMelo Ball apparently is interested in playing college basketball, and he said Michigan State is one of the areas he'd be interested in playing.
LaMelo Ball, who is 17 years old. And where did you see that reported from?
Was, I believe, Ben Axelrod.
Okay.
Tweeted it earlier. LaMelo didn't just list MSU. There's a bunch of other schools,
A bunch of other schools, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's Tom Izzo, the story tradition that is Michigan State men's basketball. The thing is, and we were debating this, I don't know what the rules are, but, you know, he's played professionally. He's gotten paid. He's gotten endorsements. So can you go back and play college basketball? I don't know if you can do that.
Apparently, he's now claiming that he never got paid to play professionally, but he still played in a pro league, and he still has his own signature shoe deal. I mean,
come on.
That seems a bit fishy.
If the money didn't go to his pocket, it probably went to his pops. All right? So that's interesting, though. I don't know if it's a one-way door in that regard, but LaMelo Ball, interested in playing for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team. I do see that LaMelo will enroll at Spire Institute to play high school basketball after, again, playing professionally out in Lithuania. Interesting story there. All right. And for a few other interesting stories, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and as I mentioned, Michigan State and Ohio State will go at it on the gridiron tomorrow afternoon. That is the next major test for Mark D'Antonio Spartans at Spartan Stadium. The Spartans moved into the college football playoff rankings this week after a win at Maryland and now have a chance to play spoiler yet again against the Buckeyes. OSU is 8-1 on the year following their narrow home win over Nebraska last week. The numbers for sophomore quarterback Dwayne Haskins are impressive. 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the year. A lot of the same players as the 48-3 drubbing they gave MSU in Columbus last year. A lot of that personnel returns. The starter at quarterback for MSU still up in the air, but according to Coach D'Antonio, Brian Lewerke will at least be the starter. That could change, though. I don't know. I think Brian will start, though. But, you know, if I just don't see how MSU can win this game if Brian does play the entire game and still is not 100%. But what do I know, right? Ohio State is favored by 3.5 points. We'll have more on that matchup in just a moment. Former MSU running back Walt Kowalczyk, he passed away on Thursday at the age of 83. Kowalczyk helped the Spartans to top 3 finishes in the AP poll for the 1955 and 1957 seasons. He was named MVP of the 1956 Rose Bowl. Kowalczyk, he led the Spartans in rushing during the 57 season and scored 9 rushing touchdowns. He also ranked 2nd in all-purpose yards. John David Crow of Texas A&M topped the Heisman vote that year, followed by Alex Karras and Kowalczyk. He was drafted in the first round by the Philadelphia Eagles in 1958. He spent 3 years in the National Football League, 2 with Philly and 1 with Dallas, and finished his career in the AFL with Oakland in 1961. Again, former MSU running back great Walt Kowalczyk passing away at the age of 83. All right, a pair of basketball games tip off at the Breslin Center on Sunday as both MSU hoop teams are in action. The women's game tips off at 1 p.m. They will play East Tennessee State after a win in their opener against Bowling Green on Tuesday. The men's tip time scheduled for 6 p.m. They will face Dunk City, Florida Gulf Coast. makes the trip to cold East Lansing. Florida Gulf Coast actually gave MSU a tight game in 2016 that finished among controversial circumstances. After that loss to Kansas on Tuesday in the Champions Classic, this is the home regular season opener for Tom Izzo's team. Another trip to Arizona is coming for a Michigan State team. This time, it's hockey of all squads. Not even sure why they have ice or how they have ice in Arizona. Either way, MSU is 4-2 on the young year and head to Tempe to play a weekend series with Arizona State University. The Sun Devils are 7-3 on the year and are the number 26 team in the country, if you will. So it should be a high-quality pair of games for MSU. Both games start at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Live streams are available on Pac-12.com. All right, the Detroit Red Wings face off tonight with the New York Rangers at Little Caesars Arena. The Wings have won 3 of their past 4 home games and 4 of 5 overall. They've scored 18 goals in their last 5 games. After winning 3 times in the first 11 games, the Rangers are on a 4-game win streak. Puck drop scheduled for 7 p.m. And, of course, that game can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit. The Detroit Lions face a tough test this weekend as a trip to Chicago looms for Matt Patricia and company. The Bears enter this week 5-3, but have lost their last 3 games to Detroit. Are 6-24 against the division since 2013. Kickoff from Soldier Field, 1 p.m. That game can be viewed on Fox. Chicago, currently a 6-point favorite. And last but certainly not least, in the world of local high school football regional championships, regional titles up for grabs for the 4 11-player Lansing area teams remaining in the high school football playoffs, and a spot in the state championship is on the line for 2 8-player teams, Morris and Portland St. Patrick, still alive in the postseason. When it comes to tonight's slates, all of these 3 games taking place at 7 p.m. in D4, St. Clair will take on Williamston. That game will be at Williamston. Nice there for Wooly to host a playoff game, right? 7 p.m. tonight. Division 7, Pawamo Westphalia will hit the road at New Lothrop, but that game will take place at Chesning. So a neutral site location, 7 p.m. tonight. And in 8-man football, Division 1, as I mentioned, Collin at Morris, 7 p.m. tonight as well. Tomorrow, if you're not at Spartan Stadium enjoying the Michigan State and Ohio State football game and you want to enjoy some local football, root on one of the local teams. In Division 3, Farmington at DeWitt. That game will take place right here in the area at Lansing Catholic High School, 1 p.m. Division 5, Frankenmuth at Portland, 1 p.m. one Saturday at Portland. And also in 8-man football, Division 2, Portland St. Patrick at Wankama. Is that how you say that? Okinawa? I don't know what. I don't know how to say that, all right? But I've never heard of that school in all of the years I've been doing this show. Never heard of that school. Please, if anybody knows how to pronounce that, please let me know. All right, 1 p.m. tomorrow, Portland St. Patrick against that school. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And let me know how to pronounce that high school as well. Go to, it's Onekama. Are we sure about that? That's what Connor's telling me in my ear right now. Onekama. Kyle Turk, I think Kyle came to the mic. I think that's courtesy of Kyle Turk, current sports PA and reporter. Onekama. Never heard of that school. Interesting. All right, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News as well. Check out the live stream. Check out this handsome face and comment below that video. Also, go to Twitter and weigh in. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at @AlMartinWKAR.
Ryan's our starting quarterback. You can go with that. That's the foundation that he's built here. I didn't see any velocity issues relative to his arm strength. I think you guys push and point towards trying to get answers and push people towards those things. If he was hurt, he would not be playing. But if he could not play, he would not play. We had a 30-mile-an-hour wind down there in Maryland. The other guy wasn't throwing very well either. I'm talking about the opposing team. So a lot of things go into that, but I think he has a foundation. As I said after the football game, though, not afraid to use Rocky. I think he made a big statement against Purdue in that football game, and I look at him as a ace reliever. And if we need to go to him, if we're not having success, then we will go to him. I would guess that, if you can't win the Big Ten championship, which is I guess mathematically there's still opportunity there, but I think the next thing is, can you go to a Big Six bowl? Can you be 9-3? Well, you got to win this one if you're going to do that. So the first one up is to win 7, like I said, and we'll do our very best to do that. And I think that's what November is. It's always been about that. It's always been about if you can win this one, what happens next? And there's a little bit bigger thing to play for as you move forward. I think you can look across the conference right now, and that's the case with every football team there.
Happy Friday, everybody out there. If you are just now tuning in, welcome. You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports, however you may be listening, whether that be on your radio at WKAR AM 870 or 105.1 FM. You may be listening on our website right now at WKAR.org. You may be checking out the live stream at Facebook.com/WKAR News. However you are listening, we appreciate you. We can't do what we do without you. All right? You just heard the voice of Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team. That very first comment. Brian Lewerke, according to Coach D'Antonio on Tuesday morning, Brian Lewerke will be the starting quarterback tomorrow when the Spartans kick off against Ohio State. Too much criticism, right? Michigan State ranked 18th in the latest batch of college football playoff rankings revealed on Tuesday. That night, Ohio State sits at number 10. Michigan State 6-3 overall, 4-2 in Big Ten play. Ohio State 8-1, 5-1 in the conference. We all know about that well-documented Purdue win over the Buckeyes. Pretty shocking, right? And I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think will happen tomorrow at Spartan Stadium? How close do you think this game is going to be? Ohio State right now, favored. Not by much. 3.5 points. 3 and a hook, folks. In favor of the Buckeyes. So Vegas thinks this one is going to be close. But I think there's a few factors that we have to look at. And you guys know, I'm not a huge stats and numbers guy, but I do like to look at them because they do give you a peek into a window of how a team is performing. All right? In certain games, stats do go out the window. I don't think this is one of them, though. MSU, looking at the Spartans, starting off here. Used the same offensive line. This is pretty surprising, right? The same offensive line in back-to-back weeks for only the second time this season. It produced a season-best 269 rushing yards in that win over Maryland. That was a 24-3 win in favor of the Spartans. Now, again, it's Maryland. And that is a game that Maryland came into with a lot of other things on their minds, I'm sure. What happened throughout that week with the University of Maryland reinstating DJ Durkin in light of the unfortunate passing of Jordan McNair
And then DJ Durkin addresses his team, and then starters walk out, and then the university says, oh, we messed up. Actually, we're going to let DJ Durkin go. Wallace Lowe, the president, said after the academic calendar, I'm out. I'm chucking up the deuces to you all. Players emotional still due to the passing of Jordan McNair. They came out and they kneeled next to the number 79 that's painted in the end zone in Maryland out at College Park. There was a lot of emotion. I'm not saying, because I think even if that didn't happen for Maryland and they were totally focused, I mean, Michigan State is just the better team. Still think the Spartans would have won, but Maryland clearly distracted, all right? And it's Maryland. Maryland is not a powerhouse in the Big Ten, football-wise. 24-3 in favor of the Spartans. Connor Hayward had an 80-yard touchdown run that gave him a career-high 157 yards on 15 carries. Michigan State right now, as far as rankings go in this category of rushing offense, MSU ranks 111th in the nation in rushing offense. And that is one of the areas where Michigan State has to be solid at if they want to have a chance at beating Ohio State tomorrow. Connor Hayward has to have another big game. Not sure what they're going to do with L.J. Scott. Mark D'Antonio brought up on Tuesday morning that L.J. could possibly redshirt this year. I don't know. Is that the right decision? Real quick, Connor behind the glass. Do you think L.J. Scott should redshirt this year? I think L.J. has not improved his stock. If anything, I think he's hurt his stock this year. He's been hurt most of the season. When he's been in there, he hasn't been really effective. I think he could use another year. Maybe chalk this up as a mulligan and then come back next year and try to beef up and change the perception of what NFL execs think of him right now. And looking back at it, maybe LJ should have came out after last season, right?
He's in a tough spot. I mean, he could either, if he comes back, he's older, he's adding more touches, and NFL executives have made it pretty clear in the last couple of years that the more touches a running back has, the lower, the farther they're going to drop in stock. But he also is in a spot where, well, let's say he gets injured again next year. If he does redshirt, his stock's already pretty low. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would have to come back and have a breakout impressive year. I mean, you even saw it kind of with we were talking back here earlier. You kind of saw it with Bryce Love. Like, Bryce Love was incredible last year, and this year he's kind of come back down to earth. His draft stock has reflected that. So I mean, unless he comes back and has an amazing year, I don't think his draft stock's going to really go back to where he wants it to be. And if he goes, there's a chance he might not even get taken.
And that's why I've always said, when it comes to college football, especially because the nature of the game is so physical, you never know what can happen. You strike while the iron is hot. And the iron was pretty warm, I would say, after the year that he had last year, even though he still had problems with turnovers, which he's had in his career. I thought LJ had a solid year, and he was ranked pretty high. Speaking of Bryce Love, real quick that you bring this up, not that anybody cares, I'm having flashbacks to my Madden team right now because I didn't even know you could do this. First off, I thought when they got rid of the NCAA, football and basketball games, that you could not feature any college players in a professional game. But when you play the Madden franchise video game, you can go into a draft and you can draft those college players. I just drafted Bryce Love. Is that against the rules, Connor? You can't do
no,
that, can you?
No, it's just like in 2K. It's just like in 2K. What people end up doing is there's a set of, like, I don't know how many people that go in and they make these draft classes, and you can make one every single year. I play the franchise mode I have with my roommate. I think we found that it's like 4 years is the last possible semi-accurate one.
That's crazy, man.
And that's, I mean, it's insane. But it's,
so
not, it's
I just
not
got
the,
Bryce Love.
It's not the game doing it. It's literally people doing it.
Like, it's users doing
it.
Yeah.
Okay. In mine, I picked up Montez Sweat.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff, dude.
Pretty good.
Yeah. LJ Scott was on there. I could have drafted LJ Scott. I chose Bryce Love, and my Washington team just got a lot better. All right. Back to this game. Brian Lewerke. That's the big topic you all have been talking about, right? Pretty much. These last 3 weeks we've been discussing, is Brian Lewerke the right guy? Well, Lewerke, again, looking at the numbers here, 16 of 45 for 153 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick in his last two starts. That's what the numbers look like right now for Brian Lewerke. 16 of 45, 153, no touchdowns, and an interception in the last two starts. MSU's 23.4 points per game ranks 110th out of 130 football bowl subdivision teams. And Michigan State's total offensive output of 360.3 yards per game, that ranks 110th as well. This offense is stagnant right now. And again, if Brian Lewerke is the guy and is going to play throughout the majority of the game against Ohio State, I don't know how this Michigan State offense keeps up. Now, on the flip side of that, Ohio State's defense is not great by the Ohio State standard. 397.3 yards allowed per game. That ranks 69th nationally. Urban Meyer's young secondary has been really gashed, yielding 243.9 yards per game through the air. You can throw and you can score on this Ohio State Buckeyes defense. I just don't know. Again, I'm not confident if Brian Lewerke is that guy behind center. Now, when it comes to MSU's defense against Maryland, and all year for that matter, this defense has been great. You got to give Coach Tressel some credit here when it's to how this MSU defense has played. The Spartans actually against Maryland produced one of their best defensive performances since 2012, holding the Terps to 100 total yards. MSU secondary held its first opponent this year under 100 yards passing, improving to 98th nationally in pass defense. The Spartans' number one run defense limited Maryland's ground game to a season worst, just 26 yards on the ground for them. That total defense now ranks 22nd in the nation. And MSU is also pretty good on third down, 31.8% conversion rate, ranking 13th. It's pretty good. But when you play an Ohio State offense like this, I think the numbers are going to change a bit. Dwayne Haskins, Heisman Trophy candidate. He's not going to win it, but he's a candidate. I think he should get the invite to New York at least with the way he's playing so far. The Buckeyes have ridden Haskins' big arm and also the legs of players like J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber to become the nation's number five ranked offense. 547.2 yards per game. That's insane, isn't it? Number 10 scoring team nationally at 42.2 points per game. It's quite amazing. And it's going to take a strong effort for that Michigan State defense to really push that Buckeyes offense. I think Michigan State, in order to have a chance in this game, the Michigan State defense is going to at least need two turnovers. At least two turnovers here. Got to have two takeaways. Because if not, and Dwayne Haskins is allowed to have a go at it down after down, series after series, that's going to be tough to slow down. It just is. You're going to have to put some pressure on him. That defensive line is going to have to continue to show some production. And also, I thought about this as well this morning. You know, the Buckeyes, I believe, and in reading some forums out there and comments on Twitter, the Buckeyes are an angry football team right now. You know, this is a fan base that is not happy that Ohio State is not in contention in the college football playoff, that the Buckeyes did fall against Purdue, and that the Buckeyes were ranked 10 on Tuesday night's college football playoff rankings. The Buckeyes actually are the lowest-ranked Power 5 one-loss team in this week's college football playoff poll. They are hearing the criticism surrounding that defense and how they look relatively average defensively. Now, we all remember, I hate to bring this up, but I want to do it just to make a point here. We all remember what happened last year at Kinnick Stadium, right? November 4th, Ohio State against Iowa. Hawkeyes beat OSU 55-24, and then they played MSU on November 11th in Columbus. Almost a year to the date, right? and embarrassed the Spartans 48-3. Not even close. I was at that game at Ohio Stadium. I was just there to watch the game, taking it in, not as a reporter, but as a fan, which I rarely get to do. And it was pretty embarrassing. The Buckeyes need to take out some frustration. And the Spartans happen to be the team on that list after that loss to Iowa. An angry OSU team scares me. It really does. Because I think they're going to come in this thing focused. So an angry OSU team should scare you a little bit. But you know what scares me more? And again, I go back to this. A Brian Lewerke-led MSU offense. He's not healthy. He's underperformed in part due to that shoulder injury. MSU loses with him primarily at the helm tomorrow. I'm going with a 31-17 final here, Connor, in favor of Ohio State. I think it'll be close in the fourth quarter. I think it's going to be like 24-17, and I think Ohio State scores like a garbage touchdown near the end to close it out. I'm going 31-17, Ohio State. What you got?
I'm saying pretty similar. I mean, with Brian Lewerke, I don't see them, you know, winning this game. He's just, unless by some miracle he miraculously has completely healed up and is back in form. But I think it's going to be close for three quarters, and I think it's going to be a lot of what we kind of saw in the Michigan game. Mm-hmm. They're going to be kind of low scoring, kind of close, and then fourth quarter is going to hit, and Ohio State's just going to turn on, because I think Michigan State's defense is going to be on the field for too long. I don't think the Spartan offense is going to be able to manage the clock well. I'd say probably 17-30, probably around what you said.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. I totally hear you on that, man. And I think Michigan State, you know, they got to keep that Ohio State offense off the field as much as possible. And the way you do that is to have a great run game. They have to run the football well here, especially seeing as though it's going to be pretty cold tomorrow. The ball becomes a brick, right? You got to have an established run game against Ohio State. Getting some comments here on Facebook. Ben says, I think Michigan State wins 23-13. And he also goes on to say, I don't see how Michigan State ends up in the Rose Bowl if Michigan State wins out and Michigan wins out and wins the conference title against Northwestern. Even with our numbers ranking where they do offensively and defensively nationally, I just don't see it happening. Anything can happen, though. Well, it all depends on if Michigan goes on to win the Big Ten championship and, you know, gets into the college football playoff, then Michigan State will be that team to get in, I think, if MSU can win out. They can't have a hiccup here. MSU has to finish the year strong, and they cannot have a hiccup. If MSU wins the rest of its games and Michigan wins the conference and goes to the college football playoff, I think they will pick Michigan State. If Michigan doesn't somehow get in, you know, let's say Georgia does beat Alabama in that SEC conference championship game, they're going to put in Georgia and Alabama. You're going to have two SEC teams along with Clemson and Notre Dame, who I think will also win out the rest of the year as well. So if Michigan is left out, they will pick Michigan over Michigan State. I just don't know. I'm just not confident that Michigan State can just finish out the year without a loss here, Connor.
No. I mean, if they do win out, the other thing, too, you have to hope that Michigan beats Ohio State, because I think even if Michigan State wins out, their defensive rankings look better than Ohio State, they might look like the hotter team. They're going to pick Brand. So,
preach,
I mean,
man. It's all about money, too. A lot of people don't want to think about that, but that's how the NCAA rolls. Which brand is going to bring in more dough? That's also
exactly.
A layer of the conversation as well, whether you like to admit that or not. So
yeah, the only way I see them in the Rose Bowl is if Michigan State wins out and then Ohio State loses to Michigan, which I still, even with their struggles, I don't know if Michigan will beat Ohio State.
I agree with you. We're on the same page there. We're on the same wavelength throughout this hour so far, Connor. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have Fit Fridays with Blessed Body founder Johnny Lewis. We'll give you some health tips before we talk some MSU hoops, all right? That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. In just a moment, we will bring to you a weekly segment that we will have each and every Friday, which made its debut last week on Friday, actually, as we will talk every week, every Friday, with the founder of Blessed Body Fitness, Johnny Lewis from Arizona. Before we do that, though, I do want to bring up a story that I'm just now seeing here on ESPN, published at around 1:20 p.m. by Jeremy Fowler. The Pittsburgh Steelers do expect former MSU running back, great, Le'Veon Bell, to report to the team next week. You know, we had a brief conversation about this on yesterday's Current Sports. Le'Veon Bell and this whole holdout situation. The deadline is Tuesday. If he does not report before the deadline, he will miss out on that franchise tag money of about $14.6 million. So, yeah, if he does not report, he will forfeit that moolah. And counting the weeks right now, he has missed. He has officially already lost out on $8.52 million worth of earnings. I just don't know how a player can just look at that and just throw that money out the window. I don't get it. $8.52 million Le'Veon Bell just threw out the window, just set on fire. I don't get that. Yeah. But, you're standing up for what you believe in. You believe you should be paid higher, you know, based on your production. You know, you're the second leading receiver on the team right behind Antonio Brown. You know, you all these carries that the Pittsburgh Steelers offense give you. But and Steelers are showing right now they don't really need you, Le'Veon. I mean, looking at what happened last night, I thought that was going to be a close game. Thursday Night Football, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Carolina Panthers, and it was a blowout. Just not even close. Not close whatsoever. Pittsburgh looks strong without Le'Veon Bell. Now what does that say in terms of Le'Veon's game and what he means to the Steelers? I don't know. You know, John Connor is holding it down right now. That's all I know. And, you know, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers, you know, he had a line that said, look, man, we want volunteers. We don't want hostages. So if Le'Veon does not want to be here, cool. We'll make do without him. And that's what the Steelers are, in fact, doing. But the problem that I had, and I voiced this on Thursday's Current Sports, Le'Veon just taking Petty to a whole new level here, tweeting backwards his displeasure to people, quote-unquote people, who are out there criticizing him. There's a certain way you go about this. Keep it professional. And if you're going to attack anybody on social media, make sure it's directed at the Steelers, not people. You know, people out in Twitterverse or those criticizing you on Facebook, whoever it may be. All right? Keep it specific to the Steelers because you come off as real petty. Real petty. So there you have that, though. Le'Veon Bell, though, is expected to report. That's going to be an awkward locker room conversation, I think. When Le'Veon does walk into that Pittsburgh Steelers locker room, I would love to be a fly on the wall just to see how that interaction goes. All right, let's talk fitness now with the founder of Blessed Body Fitness, Johnny Lewis. It's time for Fit Fridays.
My own Franz, and we just want to pop your
Royce, it's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warm-up, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm-down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press.
A basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute ab, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
That's right. You got to earn it. There's no shortcuts when it comes to living a more fit and healthy life, folks. And we're going to help you out. Each and every Friday, we will welcome the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis. And, you know, we introduced the segment last week on Friday. We pre-recorded it, and this time we are going to do it live, as Bill O'Reilly would say. Do it live, baby. So right now, Johnny Lewis joins us, and I'm a bit jealous because my brother from another mother, you know, he moved. He's from Detroit and went to Michigan State. He's an MSU alum, and he moved from this just awful cold weather to go down to Arizona where his family lives now, and he's been there for some years now. And Johnny now joins us live from Arizona, and bro, I'm jealous because I woke up today. I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the show, but we got snow, Johnny, and I'm pretty sure it's beautiful out there in AZ. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, Al? It is beautiful out here. I heard your comment earlier about me not having a shirt on. I just wanted to let it know that I do have a shirt on right now. But it's about 70 degrees, so it's perfect. It's not too hot, not too cold.
Yeah, I'm sure, dude. Was it like in the 80s there right now?
It's like 70. Mm, 70 mm, right now.
Just
I think it
in.
Might get up to 80 later, like 79.
Oh, so, my goodness.
It's perfect. Perfect right now.
Just, yep. You got a lot of listeners angry right now, however they may be listening. Like, I'm really jealous. But, J. Lou, what we're going to do right now, as we, you know, when we introduced this last week, you know, again, we're going to start with a tip that you can give our listeners in the gym. And also, you are, because, again, living a fit life, you just can't go to the gym. A lot of the work has to also be done in the kitchen. So you're also going to elaborate on a food tip as well. But I want to start with your gym tip. And what you want to tackle this week is accountability. Go ahead, my man.
Yeah, that's right. Accountability is the topic for the week because a lot of people want to stay motivated. And what better way to have a partner, right? So I encourage all of our listeners to get an accountability partner, whether it's a friend, a family member, a girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse, whoever. I think it's a great idea to have an accountability partner. And just this morning, actually, I was going for a hike, and I was so tired getting up, but someone I was going with texted me this morning, like, "You up?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm up. I got to go now that you text me." So that was, and I'm actually training this person. So even I get motivation from clients and anyone around me for accountability. So it's so big to have an accountability partner.
Without a doubt, Johnny. And you know, a lot of us, most of us, just aren't naturally motivated to go hit the gym. It's tough. It's hard work, man, until you get into a groove. And I think once you do get into that groove, this is what happened to me. You know, at first I'm like, all right, let me go to the gym. Then I get into this groove and you start seeing those results and you get kind of addicted to it. But for those starting off who aren't gym rats, I mean, you do need that motivation to go. Many people aren't naturally motivated. Now, when it comes to having accountability partners, Johnny, can you dive more into specifically good versus bad accountability partners? How should those accountability partners be holding you accountable?
So a good accountability partner, especially for the gym, because a lot of people aren't very comfortable going to the gym when they're just getting started. So you want somebody that's going to motivate you and not, like, talk about you or make you feel uncomfortable. You want somebody that's going to push you, that positive energy in the gym, and that's really big. So that's a good accountability partner, someone that's going to have that positive energy. Also, a good accountability partner would be someone that's going to call you out when you have unhealthy habits. Mm-hmm. So
right,
if you're going to McDonald's or something after your gym or post meal, and that's a bad accountability partner, they need to say, "Oh no, we're not going to McDonald's. Let's go get a healthy alternative." So
right,
we want to make sure we have that positive energy and someone that's not afraid to call you out or just tell you when something isn't wrong.
Exactly.
I mean, something isn't right.
Right. Have somebody who is going to keep it all the way 100, who's not afraid to get up in your face and let you know, look, man, this is what you need to be doing. All right. I love that. All right, Johnny.
Keep it 100.
Yeah, keep it 100. Keep it 100, man. All right, I want to talk about your food tip of the week before we get you out of here. And you want to tackle the whole vegan trend that has been really amped up in recent years, Johnny. You know, I tried it multiple times. And what really inspired me to try it, and I feel like I should be, like, getting paid every time I bring it up because I brought it up so many times. But What the Health on Netflix, when I saw What the Health on Netflix, I said, what in the world am I doing to my body? So the trend
yeah,
of
What the Health.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What the Health got a lot of buzz. What was that, like a year ago?
Yeah, something like that. Yep, yep.
And there's a lot of people out here that I know that documentary changed their life, and now they're vegan. And so it's a good documentary. I actually was planning on researching the vegan diet before What the Health came out because I have a lot of friends. And I know you mentioned it last week on the show when we were talking about cauliflower. But another thing is probiotics. And the thing about probiotics is a lot of us get it from yogurt, right? Vegans, we don't, I mean, I'm not a vegan, so I can't say we, but a lot of vegans do not eat yogurt, so they're missing on that, you know, that probiotic fix that you get from yogurt. And I want to talk about alternative ways to get probiotics for people who happen to be vegan. So one of the biggest things, and this is going to be the healthy food tip for today as well, is kombucha. I always say it wrong.
I say it wrong as well, man. It's like a new fad. Yeah, I say it wrong too.
Yeah, so kombucha is really trending right now. I see a lot of my friends and followers buying it and posting it on social media. And it's basically a fermented tea, and it has probiotic. It is a probiotic drink. And probiotics is basically the good bacteria that's going to balance out the bad bacteria in your stomach. So it's going to help aid with digestion. Some believe it can help with allergies, mental health. And I think it also helps with weight loss for some people. I think there's been studies shown that that shows that it can help with weight loss. So, but the biggest takeaway is digestion. It can help with your digestive system for sure.
And real quick, Johnny, why are probiotics so important?
Like I said, man, like you know, you don't want to have gut problems or digestion problems. We all had that before. And if you aren't getting enough healthy bacteria in your body, then you're going to have bad bacteria. And that's going to cause problems with your digestion system, and it could cause weight problems. It can make you, not necessarily make you, but it can cause problems where it will be hard for you to lose weight, you know? So you definitely want to have a healthy gut, I should say. And probiotics will help that.
Love it. So, great stuff.
There's also other ways. Let me just mention, there's also other ways to do, like, pickles and other fermented vegetables, sauerkraut, you know, different kinds of cheeses, cottage cheese. You know, for people that eat cheese, but for the vegans out there, you know, I think kombucha is the way to go. So try it out. You have Kavita, Synergy, all kinds of brands. Try it out. See which one you like.
Awesome stuff, man. I'm going to have to try that this weekend for sure. All right, Johnny, great stuff, man. Again, you can follow Johnny Lewis on Instagram at blessed_body. Also follow his work on Twitter at blessed_body_. And I know you got a website that will be coming soon as well, Johnny. But in the meantime, man, enjoy that weather out in Arizona. Fantastic stuff. Really appreciate your time, brother.
Yeah, man. Before I leave, I just want to say go green. I hope you beat Ohio State. I'm going to say that we're going to win this game.
Okay.
I'm going to say 24-17. MSU, I think we're going to pull an upset, a surprise. Hopefully, Lewerke can put in some work. I know he went to high school out here. I'm not sure if he's from here, but
he's from Arizona. Yep.
Yeah, so we'll be rooting for MSU out here all day.
All right. There we go. We'll see. You heard my prediction, man. You're much more optimistic than me, Johnny.
Yeah, man. I got to go green all day, man.
All right, J. Lou. Take care, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Al. Thanks for having me.
Again, that was another edition of Fit Fridays with blessed body trainer Johnny Lewis. Let's hear our final break. When we come back, we'll have Reflection Friday for you, and we'll briefly touch on the doubleheader for MSU hoops. Both the Michigan State men and the women in action on Sunday beginning at 1 p.m. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports as we have just under 10 minutes left here in the hour. Just want to remind you all that the Michigan State men and women's basketball teams will be in action on Sunday. Man, it's going to be a long weekend for me. Of course, I'll be at Spartan Stadium covering the Michigan State and Ohio State football game. Keep it locked to WKAR.org, as well as Facebook.com/WKAR News, as we will have post-game coverage of whatever happens here in East Lansing on the gridiron. And then on Sunday, I'll be giving you another current sports two-minute drill report centered on the MSU men and women's basketball teams on whatever happens on the hardwood at the Breslin Center. So a long, long weekend for your boy, but I love it. Love covering games. Love covering Spartan football and basketball here in the area. Connor, you'll also be in the press box with me and Alec Rio. Man, I kind of feel bad for Alec. He's going to be out there in the cold shooting that game, bringing you our dedicated coverage of MSU football. So I already talked to Alec, and he will be bundled up. All right. He's going to look like an Eskimo man on Saturday afternoon. Oh, yeah. Hold on, Kyle. Kyle Turk behind the glass, current sports PA and reporter. Kyle, you'll be at the game, but why would you be cold, dude? I mean, you're going to be broadcasting it, right?
Oh, we'll be broadcasting it, all right, but we'll be, because national radio will also be at that game,
right?
They're putting us out on the photo deck, so we'll be out in the cold.
No, so you don't have, you're not going to be in a cozy room.
No, nice little glass. We'll be, you'll be able to hear the wind on our call there, too. We got some modest means, but I'm looking forward to that game, though.
And you all will be on 88.9
in the Lansing area. Unfortunately, can't go online or anything like that, but I just want to, I'm surprised you're picking such a big scoreline. You know,
I am.
OSU's been so up and down this year. I still think they win that game, but I think they cover 3.5 points. I think OSU wins by a field goal.
OSU wins by a field goal. So you think they win? They don't get the hook, of course. So you think, yeah, OSU will pull it out? That. But the thing is, again, the reason why I'm saying this, Kyle, is because of this whole quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Rocky is behind center, that changes things a bit for me. I think it'll be much closer than this 31-17 victory in favor of OSU for me. And again, I think they score that it'll be 24-17. I think they score a late touchdown. What do I know, though, right? What do we know with these old score predictions? But it'll be much closer if Rocky is your guy. If Brian Lewerke's out there and they let him play most of the game, how can the MSU offense keep up?
The only, I think, argument you can make against that is we haven't seen Lombardi against a defense that can test him athletically. Because Purdue's good offensively, don't get us wrong, but the defensive side of the ball is where they struggle.
Same thing with OSU.
And OSU does struggle, but they've also got that pass rush.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State's definitely got the better athletes. I mean, it's not hard to say that. Ohio State does have better athletes than Purdue.
Definitely.
And, I mean, If Michigan State can move the ball offensively, they've definitely got a shot.
All right, so you're going with
24-21.
24-21 in favor of OSU, and OSU does cover that 3.5 point spread. All right, and who will you be on the air with tomorrow, Kyle?
Joey Ellis and I are looking forward to that one, though. It's going to be awesome. A good atmosphere, we're hoping.
And do you guys have a pregame show, I'm wondering?
We will kick off our coverage around 11:30.
You know, if you don't want to tune into the local cats and Jason Strayhorn and George Blaha, and you want a real cool student perspective, those in the area tune in to 88.9 Impact FM. Great stuff. They do a great job. And, yeah, you better bundle up too, Kyle. It will be cold tomorrow. Connor, we'll be in that cozy press box. eating those pretzels and hot dogs, man, watching the game. So there you have that. Not to rub it in. Not to rub it in. All right. Well, 2 minutes left here. Let's hit you now with Reflection Friday. All right, again, just a quick note about Spartan Hoops, the MSU women's basketball team in action at 1 p.m. on Sunday. They will take on East Tennessee State, and then at 6 p.m. later on that evening, Michigan State men's basketball will take on Florida Gulf Coast. I think that MSU men's hoops, you know, they're a little ticked off about what happened at the Champions Classic on Tuesday. They play Florida Gulf Coast. This should be a complete blowout in favor of the Spartans in the evening. And I'm looking forward, again, if you have not seen Nia Cloudon play, here at Michigan State, the stout young guard that she is, check out MSU Women's Hoops at 1 p.m. Also, as far as the Lions go, they take on the Chicago Bears on Sunday. I'm going with the Bears in that game. I don't think the Lions are going to win that game. I'm going with the Bears by 14, by two touchdowns. What do you think, Connor, real quick?
I'd say probably pretty spot on. I'd say Bears by 17. I feel like they'll, unless of course they follow their trend and just get an early lead and then, you know, let that slip away like they have tend to do against, you know, Miami, against the Patriots.
That's true.
So all right. I think they still get it though.
Okay. All right. My Pistons in action tonight at 7:30 against Atlanta. Also the Wings in action this weekend as well. And good luck to the Michigan State hockey team as they are at Arizona State for a double dose of games starting tonight. All right, folks, we'll see you Monday, and be easy, people.